And what we're finding here in chapter 1 is where Jeremiah was called of God to be a prophet. And so beginning in verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So, for thou shalt go." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our lives tonight to teach us and, Lord, to grow us. I pray that we'd come with an expectant heart and, Lord, that we'd be responsive as the Holy Spirit applies the word to our lives tonight. So, Lord, may you be glorified in this service. Give us your wisdom and guidance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we focused on verse 5 and saw this great truth that God knows us. And that God has a plan for us. As we see here in verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee." And so before Jeremiah was even born, God chose him to be a prophet, to be one of the few prophets of human history. And God has chosen each of us to accomplish things for him. And the question is, are we fulfilling God's plan for our lives? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We have a responsibility to seek and find the will of the Lord for our lives and to fulfill it. Like we read this morning where Paul wrote to the man there in Colossians, he said, "Find their ministry and fulfill it." God wants us to find what God wants us to do and fulfill it. But what do we find in verse 6? "O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak." I guarantee you there are a lot of Christians in the world today that God has plans for, but they're not fulfilling those plans. They have given God excuses why they can't carry them out. And this is nothing new, by the way. If you go to Exodus 3, we'll see that Moses tried the same thing. Most of you remember the story where Moses was called in the burning bush. And though Moses did eventually yield and go and obey God and become the one who delivered Israel from Egypt and became their leader, it started with, here in Exodus 3, verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And so Moses is basically initially saying, "Well, why would you call me? Who am I? I'm just a shepherd out in the desert, backside of the desert. Why would you call me?" And later on, Moses asks who God is, and God then tells him he's the great I am. And later on, where does he say it here? So I wrote down the wrong reference. Chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord," this is after God said, "I'm going to work miracles through you. I'm going to call you, or you're going to rescue Egypt." Exodus 4:10, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither there heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." He says, "Yeah, I understand what you want me to do, but I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker." And of course, God answered him later. Well, verse 11, the Lord said, "Who hath made man's mouth?" In other words, it's not a surprise to God that Moses wasn't a great speaker. It's not a surprise to God that we have limitations physically in our own flesh. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want to use us. Now, Isaiah tried the same thing. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, another one of God's great prophets, when God initially called him, here in Isaiah 6, look what he said. Isaiah 6:5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In other words, well, who am I? I'm too much of a sinner, Lord, to be what you want me to be a prophet to your people. And how many Christians out there today are saying the same thing as Jeremiah, I can't do it. By the way, that's not the response God is looking for. I can't do it. Because with God on our side, we can do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." If God calls us to do something, it's not because he has predetermined that we're not able. If God's calling us to do something, it's because God's going to enable us to do it. Because he's the enabler. He's the one with all the power. He indwells us. And so God says to Jeremiah here in verse 7, "Say not, I am a child." It disappoints the Lord when we say we can't do what he's called us to do. Because we are essentially questioning his power and his ability to carry it out through us. We cannot look at our own limitations, which are many. We have to look at who is calling us to do it, and that's the Lord. And he lives in us. So God says, don't tell me that you can't do this, Jeremiah. I've already chosen you. I've already ordained you. I chose you before you've been born to be a great prophet of mine to my people. So don't tell me you can't do it. You can do it. Don't say I am but a child. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that Paul trained up and then installed to be a pastor. And Paul said to Timothy, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of semi." In other words, Timothy, you don't have anything to fear. Yes, you're a young preacher of a new church. Yes, it's a great challenge. There's nothing to fear because God is on your side. So it greatly disappoints the Lord, as we see, when we say to God, "I can't do it." And so what is God's answer? Verse 7, "Thou shalt go." Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God's answer is, don't tell me about your limitations. I already know about your limitations. I'm calling you because I have a plan for you, and I will do it. Now go do it. That's what he's saying. Thou shalt go. See, God created us with free will. So we can choose to love him, we can choose to serve him, we can choose to fellowship with him. And when we do, it brings him great pleasure. And it glorifies him. But we can also choose to not obey. We can also choose to not fulfill his plan for our lives. And when we do that, as we see, it angers the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. I'll show you something from Paul's life. Now, Paul, very unique situation. Imagine God coming to you in the night. And he comes to you and he says, "I have a plan for your life. This is the ministry that I want you to fulfill. And by the way, it's going to be really filled with a lot of pain and a lot of trials. And you're going to get beaten, and you're going to get stoned, and you're going to get whipped, and you're going to go to prison. You're going to be shipwrecked." What would all of us do? We'd pull a Jonah, right? That's why he didn't tell us all that up front. But Paul was unique. When God called Paul, he said, "I will show him the great things he must suffer for my sake." He was a rare situation where God told him up front, "Paul, you're going to suffer a lot." And he did. He lists them for us a couple of times in the New Testament. But look what Paul says in the midst of his ministry, 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He's saying, yeah, I'm doing what God called me to do. He says, but I'm not going to glory in it. Instead, woe is unto me if I don't do it. God is the one that saved us. God is the one that calls us and has a plan for us. And God is the one that will enable us. So as Paul said, woe is unto me if I don't fulfill it. Because what excuse am I going to offer at the judgment seat? Lord, you weren't powerful enough to make this happen? That's not going to go over too well. So like Paul said, woe is unto me. I have to do what God called me to do. And that's why God said to Jeremiah, even though he tried to offer the excuse, oh, I'm but a child, I can't speak well. God says, go. Don't offer excuses, go. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces. What's the number one reason why Christians don't go forward and carry out God's plan for their lives? We all know it's fear. It's fear. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of rejection. Fear that they'll fail. But it's fear. So God tells Jeremiah up front, be not afraid. This isn't the first time he did this, is it? Joshua's about to go into the promised land. He's just taken over this angry, troublesome mob called Israel from Moses. And what does God say? Right there in Joshua chapter 1. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. He says to Jeremiah, you don't need to be afraid. This is the ministry I'm calling you to do. You have the ability to do it because I'm going to help you do it. So don't be afraid. Because fear cripples. Proverbs 29:25. Let's turn there. An important verse. Every Christian should know this verse. Because it tells us that fear cripples Christians. Notice Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So if we're trusting God, we are safe. Jeremiah is understanding now, if I will just trust God, I'll be safe. And by the way, Jeremiah went through some pretty major trials. When you read his whole story, which we're going to do, that for the most part, Israel did not want to hear what he had to say. A couple times people tried to kill him for what he had to say. But God protected him. So God says up front, be not afraid. Why? Because to be afraid is to say that God can't do it. God can't protect me. God can't enable me. Which we know God can. So that's why the fear of man bringeth a snare. The Bible says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In Psalm 118. Now Hebrews 13:6. I will not fear. We could go on and on. How many times? Fear not, fear not. Fear thou not. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. All through the Scriptures. Jesus, even when he told the disciples there in the upper room about heaven, what does he say there in John 14? Have not I commanded thee? Be not afraid. So, don't be afraid, Jeremiah, verse 8. For I am with thee. That's why we shouldn't be afraid. Because God is with us. Now go back to Exodus 3 again, where Moses is being called. And let's see if we can find this same theme. Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was called. Remember, he tried to give the excuse that he wasn't a good speaker. First he says, who am I? Then later he says, send someone else. And then later he says, I can't speak well. Three times Moses tried to back out. Look what God says, Exodus 3:12. He said, certainly I will be with thee. What else do we need? If God says that if He's called us to do something, He will not only enable us, but He will protect us and be with us, what else do we need? If we have God on our side, then we can do it. I will be with thee. What did look at Matthew 28. Remember when Jesus called the disciples? Now, this is pre-ascension. Here in Matthew 28. And the disciples have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet. And so Jesus Christ is trying to assure them here in Matthew 28, right at the end of the chapter, that they have a mission. And what's that? Go. Verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So that's their mission. Go, preach the gospel, plant churches, and then teach them the Word of God. And then what does He say? And lo, I am with you. Same thing He's saying to Jeremiah, same thing He said to Moses. I am with you. And the same thing that He says to you and me, I am with you. And He is. God's with us. So the last thing that God wants to hear is, I can't do it. Because we can do it with God's help. And Jeremiah tried it. Isaiah tried it. Moses tried it. Paul didn't try it. I was impressed with Paul's reaction there on the Damascus Road. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he didn't say, I can't do it. He said, what do you want me to do? And then he did it. But for most Christians, that's not the immediate response. What God wants is Christians that will say, I can do this with God's help. And so He says, don't be afraid. I will be with you. And then look at verse 9 of Jeremiah 1. Then the Lord put forth His hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Well, that's quite amazing. So God is saying, not only am I going to go with you, not only am I going to protect you and empower you, I'm even going to give you the words. Wow. I guess we can do it. If God's even going to give us what we need to say when we need to say it. And remember back when Moses said, I can't speak very well. The next verse, Exodus 4:12, God said, I will be with thy mouth. Remember in Acts chapter 1 where God said, ye shall be witnesses unto me? After what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm going to be with your mouth. And then if you go to John 14, the Lord Jesus Christ promised that once the Comforter came, which as of John 14 He hadn't come yet, but now He has, as after Pentecost He has. And look at the promise Jesus made about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Isn't that beautiful? So God, the Holy Ghost, indwells us and says, I will be with you and I will protect you, but I will even give you the words. I'll even help you remember when it's time to remember. The Bible says in Acts 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the Word of God with boldness. And so Jeremiah's initial response was to say, I can't do it. God said, you can do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. And don't be afraid. And I'm going to be with you. And I'm even going to put the words in your mouth. And then he finishes in verse 10 by saying, and I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Wow. We got to remember tonight that if God calls us to do something and we go forward and do it in His power, that's a lot of power. God and us make a majority. To say to one man, Jeremiah, I'm giving you power over the nations and over the kingdoms. As my prophet, when we go out and share the gospel with the lost, God is with us. We have the creator of the universe on our side. That's pretty amazing. God be for us, who can be against us, the Bible says. And if you go to Psalm 118, David understood this. Psalm 118, verse 6. And so, what does he say to you and me, to Jeremiah, to Isaiah, to Moses? Don't say you can't do it. If I'm calling you to do something, you can do it. Because I am with you, I will protect you, and I will even put the words in your mouth. And I will be there beside you, which means you have at your fingertips, if you will, the power of the Creator to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Notice 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? We can claim that. The Lord is on our side. If we're born again, He's on our side. So what can man do? What's the worst thing that man can do unto us but send us to heaven? It's true. That's the worst thing that man can do unto us is send us to heaven earlier than we expect to go. So God says to Jeremiah, verse 7, thou shalt go. I don't want excuses. Thou shalt go. You know what's exciting is Jeremiah went. This is a turning point in his life. He could have said, I'm not going to do it, Lord. And we don't know what God would have done, but he could have said it. But he didn't. He said, okay, I'll go. And hence the book of Jeremiah. God says to us, I have a plan for your life, but I'm not just going to send you on your way. If you'll go forward and accomplish what I want you to do, I'll empower you, I'll protect you, I'll be by your side, I'll even put the words in your mouth when they're needed, I'll be there. Therefore, you can do it. If God's called you to do it, then God will do it through you. That's what's exciting. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. So, what does God want us to do, and are we doing it? Because, again, we're not going to be able to get to the judgment seat that we read about in 1 Corinthians 3, Romans 14, and say to God, Lord, I know what you were calling me to do, but I couldn't do it. By the way, we won't even say that, will we? We won't even open our mouth and say something like that. Because we're going to know the truth. That we're just saying something that isn't true. And we won't do that in the presence of Almighty God at His judgment seat. So wouldn't it be better just to say, yes, Lord, this is what you called me to do. And to the best of my ability, I went forward in your power and your strength and let you give me the words and let you protect me, knowing that you were on my side and that you would accomplish it through me. Now, does that mean we're going to make mistakes? Yep. Because we're wicked flesh. But much better to go forward than to just sit down. So, let's be like Jeremiah and say, I'll go. Let's be like Isaiah, who after trying to make the excuse in chapter 6, finally said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then said I, here am I, send me. And he went. Thou shalt go. Let's pray.